Sermons from St. Andrews is a live recording of the Sunday homilies preached from the pulpit of St. Andrews Reformed Episcopal Church in Appomattox, Virginia. Following the pattern of the Christian year, these sermons are designed to drive us deeper into the life of Christ so that we might both see the glorious work that He has achieved for us and that we might be changed by entering into Christ. These sermons are presented by Father Damien Grout, who serves as rector of St. Andrews.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen. Please be seated. These days of Easter are for us as Christians the days of greatest joy. For Christ has died and He has been raised again. Alleluia. But why should these historical realities, because they are historical realities, they're nothing less than that. But why do these two facts of history bring to us such great joy? Why do we say that in these days of celebration, we should know joy unlike any other throughout the year? And I think there are a couple of answers. Well, actually, I meant to ask one more question. Why is it hard to sustain the joy for these weeks? Why do we find it so difficult? And there are a couple of reasons. And the first is there is the truth that our preparation throughout the season of Lent greatly affects our ability to sustain the joy throughout these weeks of Easter. I think there's more to it than this, because none of us are ever going to have that perfect season of Lent and Lenten preparation in which we're going to be able to sing the praises of God to their fullness. But I think the joy also comes, and the sustenance of our joy comes, in our understanding just how marvelous and how great the work of Christ is, His saving work. And any time you preach the gospel and it doesn't sound almost too good to be true, you're not doing it right. Because the good news of what God has done in Christ is so magnificent that words can barely express it. And it's only the Spirit that can truly bring us into this joy. But the Spirit does not work always apart from our understanding. And so we have, during these weeks of Easter, and even into all the way to the Feast of Pentecost, we have seven sevens, 7 weeks of joy and celebration that bring us into the fullness of joy. And so this morning we start with the remembrance that Christ is, just as St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ, the risen Christ, He is the first fruit of the new creation. And as the first fruit, He stands before us during these days as a promise of our own resurrection in Him at the last day. For we who know Jesus now by faith, He stands before us as a promise that we will be raised in Him at the last day. We will see Him as He is, for we will be like Him. But as if that's not enough, there is far more joy. For we can say today, not just at the last day, we can say today, we can absolutely declare with full confidence that at our baptism, God united us to the death and resurrection of His Son. And we can truly and absolutely say that in Christ, we have already died. And we have already been raised to Him with Him to walk in newness of life. That's not something that just is for the great forever. That's something that is promised and offered to us here. And though we truly do wait for the resurrection of our bodies, and anyone who has ever dealt with sickness, either in ourselves or in those that we love, we long for that promised day in which these mortal bodies put on immortality, and in which our corruptible flesh puts on incorruption in Christ. We long for that day in which we are fully and finally freed from the corrosive effects of sin forever and ever. We are given today and each Sunday a promise and a foretaste of that coming day of resurrection in Jesus, for we are shown the real and tangible benefits of his resurrection today. And so it was just as we saw last week in John chapter 20, when Jesus stands before us and he shows us his nail-pierced hands. It's just as it was last week as he pulled aside his garment and shows us his spear-pierced side. It is through these wounds that he speaks to us peace. And he means this right now. For his conquering down death, his defeat of our last and great enemy, His defeat of sin and death changes every single thing for us today. For he not only speaks of coming peace, he offers it to us. For in him, in his resurrection, he offers to us real freedom. He offers us the liberty of the sons and daughters of God. But it gets even better than this. The promise of freedom is the reality that we are celebrating this morning in this Good Shepherd Sunday. For this freedom is not simply the freedom to just do whatever you want. No, that's not freedom. That's actually bondage. Freedom is the freedom to become what God created us to be in the beginning. And he doesn't say, all right, now you've got freedom, you can do it. He actually leads us in the paths of life. He shows us the way of freedom. He, the Good Shepherd, protects us, directing us, and sometimes even carrying us. And that, in our Old Testament lesson, is what we heard foretold. For we read this morning from Isaiah chapter 40. And this passage, I hope, sounded familiar, because as we go through the church year, Isaiah 40 is also a big part of the season of Advent, of those days of anticipation, that penitential season of getting ready to celebrate the Nativity of our Lord. Now, though, we hear it again. But it's different for us now during Eastertide, because now we hear this, not as something that will be, but as something that now is. And so when we hear the command to the preacher to cry out, comfort ye my people, this is a more profound command now than it was during the days in which they were given to Isaiah, or even than they were during the days leading up to Christmas. For this is the promise of the gospel, and we have seen the fulfillment of our comfort over these last 5 months of the church year, and especially through our Lord's passion and resurrection. In these months we have watched, just as Isaiah said it would be, every valley has been exalted, every hill and mountain has been laid low, every single obstacle that stood between us and the freedom of the children of God, all of that has been taken away, every rough place has been made plain, for in the cross and resurrection of our Lord, we see the glory of God removing every obstacle to our being united to him now and forever. We know that even though much of what we see around us, it's as our Old Testament lesson said, much of what we see around us and that the world calls us to give our attention to, it is that which is going to wither and fade away. The grass withers, the flower fades, the Old Testament lesson said. But the Word of God, the Word made flesh, endures forever, and we in him, we know this same eternal life. So today we lift up our voices in continued praise, for in the resurrection of Jesus, we see our salvation, we see the glory of God, we see righteous King Jesus. And again, above all this, we see Christ coming to us as our good shepherd. We, in our weakness, find that it is he who gathers us up in his arms and carries us. It is he who leads us wherever it is that our path will take. Sometimes our path will go by the still waters, and there Christ is with us. And even when our path takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, Christ is here with us too. But it's even better than that. For not only is he with us, he's already gone this path before us. He has already gone through every place that he will ever lead us. He has already blazed the path for us, and he is with us as we walk through it. This is what the prophets had foretold. This is what we know, and this is what we see. And all through the Old Testament, the consistent image of God's relationship with his people, it was the image of the sheep. And God, that we are the sheep of God's pasture. This is true of us as well as the Old Testament people of God. But we have it so much better because as we look through God's appointed shepherds throughout the Old Testament, and as marvelous as a David or a Solomon was, they still leave us longing for something more. We get a glimpse of what can be, but it's only in the good and true shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so all of the hopes of the Old Testament are right before us. All of this anticipation is building as our gospel lesson opens this morning. And he speaks this profound self-declaration when he says another one of his I Am statements. For he says here, bringing all of the Old Testament together to this point, I am the Good Shepherd. And immediately he tells us what this means. For the good shepherd, our lesson says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And there is a clear distinction that Jesus is drawing between himself and the leaders, or the would-be leaders, the would-be shepherds in the Israel of his own day. For those to whom he first spoke this, they looked around and they saw so many people who wanted to be shepherds. At least, they wanted to be in charge. They wanted to have authority. They wanted people to think they were important. They wanted people to do what they said. And so during the days of our Lord, you can look to the Pharisees or the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the Herodians. There are all sorts of would-be shepherds who do not meet the qualification. They are better identified as thieves and robbers. And even the best of them, they can be described as nothing more than a hireling. They, whether thieves or robbers or hirelings, the sheep are a means to their self-preservation. But when it is the sheep, when the sheep are being cared for by a hireling, what happens when danger comes? What happens when the wolf comes to the door and their only reason for caring for the sheep is for themselves to earn something by it? What happens when trouble comes? When this trouble threatens the life of the hireling, they're very quick to flee. But how different is our Lord? For our Lord, he comes to us men and for our salvation. He comes down from heaven to become one of us. And he, the good shepherd, stands between us and our last and great enemy. He stands between us and the one enemy that we could never defeat, death. He comes and he takes on our last great enemy. He puts himself between us and the danger. And he, who knew no sin, becomes sin for us, that we might be freed from the wages of our sin, death. But as if this is not enough, there is more for us even today. Yes, our Lord has trampled down death by death. Our good shepherd, though, he is with us even now. He leads us. And as we follow the shepherd and bishop of our souls, he leads us into paths of righteousness. And in these paths, he does as the psalmist had long foretold, that no matter where we are, no matter where he leads us, whether it's the valley of the shadow of death or in green pastures, even in the presence of our great enemies, he does for us what he offers to us today. He prepares a table for us. He is with us, and he offers us the very bread of life. He offers us the blood of the new covenant. For he not only shows us the way, he empowers us and strengthens us to go in his very life. May we continue in the joy of this season, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen.
Sermons from St. Andrews is a production of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.